Have you seen his Instagram?
They need
it's Felger and Mass.
They don't use crack enough.
On 98.5.
Yeah, not really.
The Sports Hub.
All right, final hour agenda, free Felger and Mass here on a getaway day Wednesday. Just to reset the Celtics thing real quick, and we're going to play the sound coming out of the next break. You good with that, Mass?
Absolutely.
Mike Gorman was on this morning on Toucher and Rich and was asked about Gordon Hayward and basically said he's not the same. He's lost his athleticism so far this year. He hasn't gotten his athleticism back, which was to be expected. He's learning to play below the rim where he used to be an above-the-rim player. And then he gave what I thought was kind of a whopper, which was he basically said there's no question his athleticism will never return to the level at which it was at. He said something like if it gets to 90%, you know, maybe that's what you're looking at. So 90% of Gordon Hayward is still pretty good, but the implication there is that there's some thought that Gordon Hayward will never be the same, which kind of stopped me in my tracks.
Yeah, I find that alarming because I don't think the Celtics have operated that way unless they, you know, they're hiding something. Which is not out of the realm of possibility, but go ahead.
Well, no, I mean, it's just that. It's just that. And, you know, Paul George, his numbers returned and his status returned, but I don't watch him on a nightly basis. I don't watch him at all, frankly. For those that do, I wonder, if you watch Paul George on a nightly basis, does he have the same lift? Does he have the same explosiveness? Does he have the same burst and athleticism? If you watched him every night, would you be able to tell a difference after he shattered his ankle?
Yeah, I think if you watch him every night, sure.
I'm curious. I mean, maybe it's not. Maybe it's all the way back. Yeah. I'm not telling you that I know. I'm in fact expressly telling you the opposite. I don't know. But just because he comes back and is still a good player, has he still lost 10% of what he was? And is that 10% now the difference? Because frankly, since the injury, from a team standpoint, his teams have done exactly squat. They've done nothing. So, I mean, I know what his teams have done. I don't know how he looks. So I'm just saying.
I mean, prior to the injury, what's the best he did? He went to Game 7 in the Eastern Conference Finals.
Yeah, he hasn't been close to that since, has he?
No.
Been like 1-2 and done.
Well, he's also in a tougher conference in the West now, too.
All I do know is what his team has done. I don't watch him on a nightly basis. If you had, would you say that he's lost 10%? But Gorman's comments on Gordon Hayward just have some ramifications, not just for this year, but beyond. If he's not going to be the same player, you're not quite the same team. And I found it interesting. We'll play the sound coming up.
So look, the one thing I looked up with George that relative to Hayward, he was about 4 years younger.
Is that right?
So he was 24 when he snapped his leg. And Hayward's what, 28, 29, I think, right? So, you know, there's an age difference there. And in terms of recovering, maybe that's a factor. Like, I don't 4 years and throw him out. No, a 24-year-old man, athletic man will recover more quickly than a 28-year-old athletic man. Like, I don't think there's that's debatable. Now, whether it's the difference is 5%, 10%, I don't know. I can't tell you. Now, I would tell you that I think George came back and was the same player. Did I watch him every night? No. Do I watch him every night now? No. But I think he basically came back as the same player. And everything the Celtics have said publicly and everything I have heard is that they expect Gordon to come all the way back. So hearing the comment that Mike Gorman made, if there's any measure of truth in that, well, then it alters what Gordon Hayward is as a player, and you have to adjust accordingly.
No question. And different injuries and different players, but, I mean, we've seen it all the time where certain guys suffer an injury and they're never the same. Derrick Rose, you know, is the one that stands out the most. Never the same after that knee, and I'm sure you could give me others. It would just suck if Gordon Hayward were that guy.
Sure.
That would be, that's a pretty big blow. So your thoughts on that, the football stuff, whatever you want. Treat it as an agenda-free hour here. Charlie in Arlington, though, on Gordon Hayward.
Yeah, hey, guys. I would say a fair amount of the blame as it relates to his Gordon Hayward's lack of offensive output so far this season, I think clearly lies with Brad Stevens. You know, when I watch these games and I watch their offensive, you know, set. You know, first of all, they aren't running any plays for him, okay? And, you know, Gordon Hayward passes the ball, but the ball never goes back to him. I mean, it goes into a black hole every time that guy passes the ball. His arms are outstretched. He's open. The guys are not passing him the ball, number one. The other thing also, I think he's playing way too passive. And okay. I think he's deferring far too much offensively. So I think it's
Let me stop you there. That's true. I think he is deferring. No question about it.
Kyrie has passed him the ball.
And I think, but that other part that they're not getting him the ball or not getting him involved, are you kidding me? He's too involved. I mean, he touches the ball a ton, I think. I think he's got touches all over the place. I don't think he's getting shots. Is that him or is that the coach? I mean, I think that's him. I think he's tentative.
Yeah, I think it's a little bit of both. And because I think they want him to facilitate. I think that they feel that's one of the strengths of his game. And it's part of the reason they put him with the second unit. So Stevens was on with the midday show today. And at one point he said that Hayward and Marcus Morris have worked well together, which makes sense. Because Hayward, you know, gives Marcus Morris the ball in a good spot and Morris shoots it. Like he always does. He doesn't pass. No, but you can see how that would work, right? One guy feeds off the other one. So Hayward knows how to, he understands spacing very well. He understands floor balance very, very well. He's got a great eye and feel for the game. I think that's apparent when you watch him. So if Morris is in the right spot, he'll get him the ball. He'll get guys shots. And when he's open, he'll take one and make one. What we haven't seen, though, is one of the things everyone said about Hayward was, aside from the athleticism, he can get his own shot. It doesn't really look like that.
No, I agree.
At least not on a reliable level. If he's got a mismatch, fine. But is he a guy that's blowing by people and going to the basket? I don't see it.
Before I take the next phone call, Murray, do you have something over there?
Yeah, I don't know.
No, but hold on. If we're going to hit the button if you do.
Yeah, I think it's something.
Okay, hit the button then.
This is breaking sports news.
Powered by Valvoline Instant Oil Change.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Well, maybe this speaks to the poor play of quarterback Tom Brady, as Field Yates of ESPN just tweeted that Patriots quarterback Tom Brady has been added to the injury report. He was limited today at practice due to a knee issue. A knee issue, may I remind listeners to Felger and Maz.
Jimmy Stewart was all over this.
Jimmy Stewart has mentioned more than a few times.
Jay Stu. Bastard.
On it again.
How does he know crap like
he
that?
He does, yeah. Jimmy's got his ear to the ground.
He does have his sources.
People talk to him.
He does.
Stewart's been telling us about this for a couple days. Go back and watch the double pass and how Brady got hit. That's what Jimmy says. It happened on that double pass because he played two more snaps and then was done for the day. Okay. So it wouldn't explain his poor play this year because allegedly it happened on that double pass.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. So who knows?
It wouldn't explain his poor play in the Tennessee game.
Right. Or any of his poor play in the previous weeks. Depending on when it happened, I suppose. I mean, his footwork has been off. He doesn't look quite the same back there, and he has been reluctant to take hits. He was reluctant to take hits in that Tennessee game.
I mean, he was spinning out of it.
No question about it.
Which tells me, if you're spinning out like that, it tells me it's his left knee. And he didn't want to land on it.
I don't care which knee. Maybe it just tells
you
something.
That's the one he hurt, right? That's the one that got caved in.
I have no idea. So, add that to a list of concerns. Is Tom Brady banged up on top of it all? Discuss 617-779-0985. Kevin in Boston waiting patiently on a Celtics thought. Hi, Kevin.
I'm about the biggest Green Team ever, Tommy Heinsohn, and I hate Terry Rozier. Sucks, 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 seven sucks. All he does is get the ball, dribble, 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 pass. Get the ball back, dribble, dribble, jump shot. I would trade that bum for two pieces of gum and two blue Gatorades.
Okay, Kevin. Strong to quite strong.
The blue, not the green.
What's the Terry Rozier thing you read at the top of the hour update?
So he's being sued. The company that designed the mask, the scream mask,
Rozier has
turned into the stupid, scary Terry thing, and he's selling the apparel and T-shirts. The Fun World Costume Company seeking unspecified damages as well as $150,000.
Yeah, that thing's got to be licensed. You can't just spin that off and sell that as your own.
Yeah, well, no. See, it's different because I'm scary Terry. See, it's different. One's the bad guy in Scream. I'm different because I'm a basketball player and I'm scary.
I'm sorry, the movie junkets and the press releases and the video game. The rap drops like that and the T-shirt merchandise. The merch, like I have no time for this. This whole thing with the NBA, like I have zero. I don't care about your stupid ass rap song that sucks. I don't care about your dumb ass movie that I wouldn't see, but I'm sure sucks. And now your T-shirts and your licensing, like. How about the actual game? I'm just curious. I don't know. But instead, it's all this. The NBA is like this accoutrement, like all this crap, this marketing crap. It's like it's the single most important thing. You think these guys care about championships or they care about the merch?
Got to get that money.
God dang it. It's annoying. So I'm kind of with that caller on Terry Roser.
Speaking of which, are there Felger and Maz t-shirts?
Yeah, they're available right now at 985thesportshub.com. Very good. I have to catch a flight. So Maz is going to bring you home. You got two segments with Maz. You're going to pick up the Gordon Hayward stuff. Listen up for the Mike Gorman comment that you'll hear coming back from the next break on Gordon Hayward. We'll continue with your calls. A couple more high school play-by-play calls to get to that are doozies, the all-timers. You'll hear those. And that's that. So stick around here on Felger and Maz.
At the end of your ride home, you'll be all caught up.
If you get suspended again, you're going to miss playoff time, or you're going to miss time in the playoffs.
Or questioning your judgment.
Sorry I brought it up.
Felger and Maz, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I think the biggest problem for Gordon is he hasn't been able to get his athleticism back yet. And I say yet with hopes that it will come back. But right now, we were in a highlight package of Gordon's play in Utah last week ago, Friday night, when we played in Utah. And, you know, this is a guy who was throwing windmill dunks down on people on the baseline. He was just a ridiculously athletic player. That athleticism is not evident now and is not back yet. So he's kind of learning to play the game below the rim as opposed to above the rim right now. And that's a process that affects everybody on the team.
Are you concerned at all that the athleticism is not going to come back and Hayward's going to have to play a different sort of game than he played in Utah?
I don't think there's any question that the athleticism is not going to come back to the level that it was. Now, can it come back to maybe 90% of the player he was before? I certainly hope so. But we've just, you know, and again, Gordon has done everything possible in terms of workouts. And
no one's bad-mouthing him, I mean, this is beyond his control.
That was a horrific. Right, it's beyond his control. Exactly right. And, you know, he said some very telling things over the past couple of weeks. Like he had an exceptional half there after one game, and he said, his quote after the game was something to the effect of, I started to remember who I was. And, you know, I think he's really going through something of a crisis there in trying to figure out how to best be a contributor to a team while figuring out how to play the game differently than he played it before.
So that's Mike Gorman this morning on with Toucher and Rich. Again, playing a comment we've talked about a lot here today on Felger and Maz. Last couple of segments here, again, Mike mentioned earlier, he's got to catch a flight. So Murray and I will take you right up until 6 o'clock, officially into Thanksgiving night. Big drinking night, Murray. Do you still drink tonight?
No.
Yeah, okay.
It stops when you're like 27.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. Because frankly, I think it's like amateur hour. It's like one of the most overrated drinking nights of the year, along with New Year's Eve, but that's another story for another day. 617-779-0985. That Gorman comment, that should alarm you, by the way, if you're a Celtics fan. It is, to hear that Gordon Hayward may not have the same type of athleticism means he's going to be a different player, and that's not the guy you signed. So if the ramifications of that injury last year are long-term, and we all thought that they were going to be short-term, that he would be back the next season, well, it does change the equation a little bit. Now, I personally think that the Celtics would still be good enough to win the East, even if Gordon Hayward is 85% of the player he was. They still have a lot of talent on that team, and they should still win the East. That's how I feel about it. But if he is not an elite player in the league, and define that as top 20, top 30, however you want to define it, you define it. Well, then it may ultimately affect your championship hopes, be it next year or the year beyond. You may have to rethink that one a little bit. I also want to note, I have not heard from anybody around the Celtics that they don't think Gordon Hayward is coming back, to 100%, I mean, okay, or that he's not going to be the same player. These comments by Gorman today are the first any of us have heard of it. Now, the Celtics publicly have said they expected him to make a full recovery, and I can tell you that privately, I've heard that the Celtics expect him to make a full recovery. I don't know if they would tell the world that he would not be the same player, but in any case, that's where we are. It was an interesting comment from Mike Gorman, to say the least.
Yeah, and Gorman's typically one of the guys that's the most positive when he speaks about this team and the players. And, you know, we have obviously had fun playing those clips where he's saying, no, I wouldn't trade Tyler Zeller. I wouldn't trade, you know, fill in what bum he's talking about. But he was also the first guy I heard talk about Kyrie Irving not being a lock to stay here, too. So that's why I find it a little bit alarming, you know?
It should be. Again, you're talking about a guy who spends a lot of time around the team. I don't think he's just... He's not a
hot take artist.
He doesn't strike me as the kind of guy that would also carelessly toss something out there right. Like that. Okay, I just don't think that's who Mike Gorman is. I got way too much respect for him for that. He's a way better human being than we are, Murray. Really is what it comes down to. Mark's in Anaheim. Mark, what do you got?
Mike Gorman, great in like 1986. And when did he become a doctor? Is he a training specialist over at TB12 selling pumpkin seed ultra hops juice?
So, Mark, is it that you really feel that way about Gorman? Because I still think he does a terrific job. Or is it just that you're a Celtics fan and you didn't like what he said?
I always liked him, but he's losing it. I mean, he's part of the Gerritol gang now. They need to shuffle in some new announcers. Maybe me.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, see you later, Mark. I don't think there's anything wrong with Gorman. So, again, I still think Gorman's as good a play-by-play guy as he's ever been. I don't feel like he's losing it at all.
He's excellent.
So I don't know what the hell you're talking about. What I think is that he happened to give a piece of information or perspective that you didn't like, and it didn't fit with how you want to just skip through the season because you're a Celtics fan. And then Celtics fans never want to hear anything negative, and if they do, they ignore it. They stick their heads in the ground. Barbara's in Beverly. Go ahead, Barbara.
Hi, yes, I was wondering, you guys, happy Thanksgiving.
You too.
Thank you. I just wanted to ask you what you think. Do you think the big effect on the defense has been the new penalties in the NFL? And do you think they're going to change that at all? Like, roughing the passer is called really inconsistently. People are afraid to hit anybody. It seems very defenseless right now.
So, Barbara, before I let you go, what do you do for Thanksgiving tomorrow? Just curious.
Prime rib.
Oh, so do you cook?
Yeah.
Oh, so you're hosting?
Yeah, just my husband and I and the dog.
Okay. Well, you still got a lot of work to do, so I'm going to let you go. But in any case, Murray, we had this question earlier as it pertains to the roughing the passer penalties in the NFL. Do you think they've been a factor?
They were early. I mean, with the guys landing on him, and it seemed like Clay Matthews was being targeted, but it feels like that's died down, and they really haven't done much, thankfully, with the lowering the helmet thing, although it almost did affect...
It came up in the Rams game.
The Rams and Chiefs game, and, you know, so it's funny, too. That game was so entertaining. There was so much going on. It was like the refs weren't being talked about enough that they looked at themselves and said, we have to crowbar ourselves into this game somehow. They called the wrong guy for the penalty. It should have been called. They called him the offensive player. It should have been on the defensive player, or vice versa.
No, they called it on the defensive player. It should have been on the offensive player.
They screwed the
whole
thing up. I remember that. So, you know, that's why I'm glad that they've, you know, as bad as it looked in the preseason, it was like, oh my God, they're going to ruin football by this stupid new rule. You haven't seen it much.
No, it helped the Chiefs score a touchdown, if I remember it right. It was I don't know. Ultimately, I think they were going in anyway because everyone went in that game. But it did help the Chiefs score a touchdown. We're agenda-free, which means we're bouncing back and forth. Celtics, Patriots, all kinds of stuff. Tim's in Billerica. Tim, what do you got?
What's up, guys? So I am sick of this 10-ply soft the Celtics team. They are... If they can hit in the mouth, they just sit there and kind of take it. And for the record, I want to throw out that Phoenix win. That Phoenix win was hollow. It was fake.
Fake win.
What's that?
Fake win. It was a fake win.
Yes, fake win. They put an asterisk next to it. Jim Murray style. Put an asterisk next to it. Fake win. That team is gutless. I thought after that terrible road trip that when they came back, had the overtime win at home against Toronto, I thought, okay, maybe they found themselves. Maybe that road trip was the kick in the pants they needed. And then that egg they laid against Utah, that was embarrassing. That was one of the worst losses I've seen the Celtics play in 5 years because they were just gutless. They had no fight. They just rolled over and just accepted. The whole team, top to bottom. And for the most part, guys like Smart and Horford have at least showed up this year more often than not. But that whole team just laid there and took it from a team that kicked your ass 8 days ago.
Yeah, so Tim, the Utah game was alarming. The Utah game was alarming. Mari, if I remember right, I think the Celtics are 3-6 in their last 9 games. Is that right? 3-6 in their last 9? And then they lose the other night on top of it. And they did play a little bit better the other night, at least offensively. Brad Stevens made some comments about that today, which we'll play for you in the next segment. There was one in particular that I found a little interesting. It didn't tell you a ton different than what you already knew or suspected. But I think the coach basically confirmed what the problem is with the team. Rich is in Bristol. Rich, go ahead.
Hey, Matt, how are you?
Good.
Hey, for one thing, Mike Gorman is great. I mean, I can't say anything bad about that guy. He's awesome. On Hayward, it could be in his head. It's going to take a little bit to get his confidence back in that leg.
Rich, it is in his head. There's no question it is in his head. Go ahead.
But what I think he needs is to have one game where he just goes up and, you know, slams one down the middle, lands hard on his ankle, sees that it's fine, goes off, goes for 30 points, and this whole thing could be beyond us. That was a horrific injury.
Yeah, so
it's going to take some time. His leg is just as strong as it was before, according to doctors. Doc Flynn had said that his leg is stronger than the other one. I saw him picking up marbles with his toes in the offseason.
Yeah, so look, I don't know about the marbles and the toes. Okay, what I do know is that when you have that kind of injury, the challenge in coming back is often psychological. It's a confidence issue. I don't think there's any issue with him having the same explosiveness or anything of the like. Physically, I think it's there. At least this is how it's been relayed to me. And from what I understand, Hayward in practice looks like the same Hayward. Then he gets into a game, and maybe that's with no real defenders on him. And when I say that, certainly guys aren't going to dig in, and you don't run the risk of injury. Because remember, he suffered this thing on what amounted to an alley-oop, and Jay Crowder got in his way on the way down, and then there you go. His leg snapped in half. So what I think now is it's going to take a while. I don't think this is at all unusual. I think it's going to take a half season, and I'll give him a half season. But if we don't see it after that, then I think you start to get concerned. In the meantime, Mike Gorman's comments have to be taken with a level of seriousness. This is a play-by-play guy who's been around the team a long time and a very dignified guy on top of it. Hey, Gorman's not the kind of guy that just makes stuff up and throws it out there for the hell of it. He's not that kind of guy. So if someone has suggested to him, listen, Gordon may not come all the way back, then I would put it away and store it away and see what Hayward looks like going forward. As it pertains to the Celtics, I mentioned Brad Stevens was on his weekly interview with the Midday Program. We'll play you some of his comments when we come back. And don't forget, we're treating this like an agenda-free Friday, but the day before Thanksgiving, we have more football calls for you, too. All of that coming up here in the last 30 minutes or so of the program.
Felger and Mass.
I love it.
You were right, Mass.
I just keep loving it more and more.
Bored my listeners to death.
I finally feel alive.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Sounds good.
Well, I just thought we started to look like ourselves for more minutes in a game than I had seen. And obviously things didn't go our way there with the final score and how we finished the fourth quarter. But I thought we did so many good things throughout the game on both ends of the court that I left really encouraged. And there are things that we could clean up, but they were all technical. There wasn't any as far as like an inconsistent period of time where we just weren't locked in, where we weren't playing together, where we weren't trying to do the right things. It was all small technical things that you can improve upon. And so, you know, that left me encouraged. But, you know, I think obviously that's a tough loss to swallow when you play well and you have the right approach.
Celtics coach Brad Stevens on with the Midday Program earlier in the day, his weekly interview every Wednesday. 1 o'clock, I think he does that with them, right? I think it's 1 o'clock every Wednesday?
Sure. 12:50, how about that?
12:50, is that what it is? Okay, well, whatever it is. I'm just trying to help out where I can, Murray. Point people into the Midday Show if I can, you know, do my thing. Do my part, rather. But there was part of what Steven said there, and he's talking about the loss the other night in Charlotte. There's part of what he said that I actually found to confirm what, you know, further confirm what our beliefs are about this Celtics team. Okay? And that's something he said in the middle about, he said overall that he liked the way they played the other night. And Felger made the point the other day that, boys, you got to stroke them at every turn to try to get this team to play the way that he wants it to play, which generally is true. He's being very careful and he's being very delicate with this team as he tries to get them to go where he wants them to go. But don't delude yourself. This whole idea of, you know, chemistry and guys running the offense and all this stuff, that's all bullcrap. It's not chemistry. It's about guys being understanding that they're part of a bigger group and to start putting their selfish interests ahead of the team's. And it was this part in the middle of Stevens' comment that caught my attention, because I think he's validating that.
There are things that we could clean up, but they were all technical. They're not there. There wasn't any, as far as like an inconsistent period of time where we just weren't locked in, where we weren't playing together, where we weren't trying to do the right things. It was all small technical things that you can improve upon.
Stop there, Billy. So he's saying all small technical things. Someone was positioned on the wrong end defensively. Maybe we didn't switch properly. Someone's supposed to help on this play defensively and they didn't, etc. But generally speaking, you heard him say, you know what he wanted to say? Because he paused too. And he says, well, they were all, he didn't want to say that they weren't born out of selfishness or guys doing their own thing instead of playing team basketball. That's what he wanted to say. But he uses these euphemisms to talk around it. And the other thing he's talking about is effort, because they haven't always shown effort, particularly on the defensive end, certain guys in particular. Watch Jason Tatum play defense, people. Watch him play defense. Or should I say, watch him not play defense. And then you'll get an idea of what some of Stevens' frustrations are all the way around. So I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to squeeze in a couple more calls quickly.
But just real quick, though, given his personality, do you think that that's going to change? Like, if this continues to look like the way that it's looked and Tatum continues to be lazy on defense, do you think at some point Brad Stevens will call out any of these guys and name names?
So will he call them out? Probably not.
Because I don't know.
Will he change playing time? Yes.
Yeah. I mean, I can see changing. But at some point, I don't know. Like, I think you might need to, you know, kind of shake these guys a little bit and go at them.
So, Murray,
if nothing changes, then he's going to have to change the approach.
So I actually think that taking playing time away means more. I don't need him to air guys out publicly. I mean, it would make fans feel better. But really, because I believe in the action, not the word. So you can tell me all you want that you're going to do something, but if you don't go ahead and do it, what good is it? But if a guy's loafing on defense and you pull his ass out of the game, then so be it. Like what he did the other night against Utah.
With Brown.
Right? And not just Brown. Which game was it when he took the four guys off the floor?
Oh, no. Okay, yeah. That's what you mean. The end of the Utah game.
Absolutely.
11 and change, whatever the hell it was to go.
Yes. So to me, that will do. You know, to me, that will deliver a message. The public airing of players, like, you know, I just think that can blow up in your face.
Sure. I wonder, though, in a case of, like, Jaylen Brown, like, he just sees the logjam in front of him at that position. And Gordon Hayward, even if he doesn't start in the rotation to begin the game, but he ends up with more minutes at the end of it. Well, you know, if I'm Jaylen Brown, I'm like, well, nothing's really going to change here. So I don't know. Different approaches work for different guys. Maybe some guys do need to get aired out to realize, like, you know, things need to change here because this is ridiculous.
So look, I mean, I'll allow for all of that. I think ultimately, though, players want to be on the floor. They want to play. And if you take that away, they can either turtle or they can fight for it. And if they turtle, well, that one's on them. So, you know, I would agree that offensively they were better in the last game. Defensively, they still have some work to do. And they have work to do offensively, too. Allen's in California wants to talk about the Patriots. Go ahead, Allen.
Hi, guys. I'm just in a complete state of astonishment as the number of moves that Bill Belichick made. I mean, he had a team that sustained a lot of talent on the field for 2014, 15, and 16. You know what happened in 15, but that was a very talented team. It's remarkable the disintegration, the complete, utter disintegration of a Bill Belichick team to the level that it's at now. And I think everything Tom Curran said is true, if not maybe even worse. It's just incredible. I'm just like, wow. It's for a Bill Belichick team to descend this far and this fast, you know, in just a matter of 2 or 3 years. And just one last thing.
No, Sir Allen, I'm only going to take the one point. But for those who don't know what you're talking about, Tom Curran of NBC Sports Boston wrote a column yesterday that basically said, you know, the Patriots are in a state of decay. and that this is the end of the second incarnation of the Patriots dynasty, the Rob Gronkowski era, if that's what you want to call it, and that there are a million Patriots players facing contractual issues and whatnot over the next year plus, and that this thing is going to be shredded for all intents and purposes in the next year and completely rebuilt. And Brady, in theory, will be the centerpiece of that. I think that's the whole idea. Tom Brady will keep them competitive while they're putting the next team in place. That's what ownership would want. They still want you to have an interest in the team. We'll see if that if it plays out the way that Curran suggested it would in his column. And again, NBC Sports Boston. Here's what we're going to do, because we have a lot of stuff for the final word. It's a Felger and Mass tradition, as many of you know, to play high school football calls. Some classics here on the Felger and Mass show that we play on the day before every Thanksgiving. So we got a couple of our particular favorites for you that we're going to play in the final word. And some stuff from earlier in the program today, including Jim Murray a cappella of Sunshine Day. So you don't want to miss that either. We'll do that when we come back.
I hate jokes. We're not taking jokes.
That joke's blue.
It's Felger and Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub. Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
And the final word is brought to you by Town Fair Tire for the guaranteed lowest price on tires. Go to Town Fair Tire because nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody.
No, nobody.
Well, I'm having computer issues here, so I'm supposed to fire some of the sound, but I can't because I want to put my fist through this because PCs are the worst. The world should be using Macintosh, Apple computers. Anyway, before I snap, Billy, we'll start with the sound of, Maz earlier today as we're going to get into
No, let's do you first. This is we had Paul Perillo in studio today, Murray, right?
Right. I need to try to fix this, Maz, so you talk for a minute.
Okay, so Paul Perillo was in here for his weekly visit on Wednesday. Paulie about Patriots Football Weekly, sunshine.com. And Murray decided to sing the song this week as a caller who has a terrible cell phone, really. So here you go.
Bad cell phones singing Sunshine Day this week.
Hey, Paul. Well, that is what it sounds like during the show. When someone calls in, you can't make hear what the hell they're saying.
And there was an abundance of those today, too. It was far too many. So, yes, I thought I would honor some of those fine callers and listeners to this program by making the muffled phone call.
Okay, so we've been playing some high school sports play-by-play calls over the last several days or last several hours. They did this on the Midday Show program, too. This has been a tradition on the Felger and Maz show that we started a number of Thanksgivings ago, or the Wednesday before Thanksgiving. We were playing assorted calls from high school football games in which, you know, cable access guys completely lose their minds. We have a couple of favorites. We played one for you earlier from, Billy, where was the one down south? It was like in Virginia or something, wasn't it?
Georgia.
Right? Norcross is in Georgia. So the play-by-play guy has a certain evangelical tone to him, and we had a little fun with it earlier in the show.
Gives it off to Lewis, going to the right. Lewis getting outside, 20, 15, 10, 5, touchdown to Corey Lewis. The Mill Creek have just thrown another hook. Boom, boom, bam, get out of the way. Strap up, heat of Lewis on that drive. Can we just give it to him?
Yes, sir.
All right. The snap and the hold and the kick is up, and the kick is good. It is 34 to 34. He was the guy that came out with it. Norcross got another life, and they're on the 48. The 49, take it, toss. We've got the Kamara moving to the right. Kamara, 50, 45, 40, 35, 30, 25, 20, 15, 10, 5. Kamara, touchdown! Norcross Blue Devils. You want to talk about momentum?
Touchdown! Touchdown! The kick is up, the kick is good! There's like an evangelical element to that guy. You gotta love it. The kick is up, the kick is good!
I love that guy. Oh, that is awesome. He is. He's the guy. Touchdown! Praise the Lord! Touchdown! The kick is up. The kick is good.
It was very much like Sherman Hemsley. Is that who the actor was?
Yeah, from the Jeffersons.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah. George, right?
Yep.
Wheezy.
Your acting talents are very underrated, Maz. Anytime you come up with a voice like that, sometimes, or when you've been used in the off-air show videos, like you're quite the thespian.
Well, I appreciate that, Murray. That's a big compliment coming from someone like you. Because, as we know, you are excellent at it. So we have, look, there were a couple of calls that we've had here over the years that are absolute favorites of our listeners and those of us here on the program, too. So we're going to do one that was actually a college game. We'll do that one first. This is my personal this is my personal favorite. It wasn't originally when we played it because it was one I liked better. But as the years have gone on, I like this one more and more. It has become my favorite. Murray told me a little while ago it is his favorite, too. This is from FAU college game in which the play-by-play guy absolutely, I mean, this guy blows a gasket. He loses it, really. And to the point where, like, it feels like he's just going to have a breakdown on the air. Go ahead, Billy.
This is just a day where the Owls were their own worst enemy. They had problems with the officials. But who knows? Maybe those guys got it all right, except for a call we know that they got wrong, which did hurt. Van Camp will scramble. He's taking a lot of punishment today. Oh, and he took a hit to the head on the slide. Oh. Where's the flag? A hit to the head on the slide is a flag. To the 27-yard line, Van Camp slow to get up. He does get up. His helmet came off. There's not a flag. Where's the commissioner? Where's Wright Waters? Where's Wright Waters? That's embarrassing. That is absolutely embarrassing. That has to be a flag.
And that still, we'll see.
He's sliding.
Send Van Camp to the sideline. No, nope, there's Cooey.
Yeah.
He's got to get him out of there.
He's got to come out of the game now. It's ridiculous. That is, I can't believe that. I cannot believe that. You can't.
I mean, it took him a while to get into the
spot. Wow, he is defenseless! He's defenseless! Don't you understand? Throw a flag! Third down. Dewey throws over the middle, behind the receiver, incomplete. It'll be fourth down and three.
Van Camp took a helmet-to-helmet shot regardless, even if he wasn't in his slot.
You know what? I don't really care if you people look at me in the press box. You know what? I don't care. That's a flag. And I'll fight any one of you if you want it. That's the mood I'm in at the moment. Apparently the team is not the only one melting down here. 5:58 to go.
I love how he oscillates between losing his mind and actually doing the job.
Well, that's the best nuance of the whole thing. Is
third down!
Gets up. You know that he leans out the press box window. But where's Wright Waters? There's a fly!
Where's the commissioner? Where's Wright Waters? Where's Wright Waters?
And then he sits back down.
Where's the flag?
And it's like he's Michael Douglas in Falling Down. He like adjusts himself and realizes, okay, I've lost my mind here.
Don't you understand? Throw a flag!
You all think I need to be locked up, and I will fight any of you that has any problem with me. Right?
You know what? I don't really care if you people look at me in the press box. You know what? I don't care. That's a flag. And I'll fight any one of you if you want it.
That's a real nut. That's a nut that can go from, you know, in the red like that to dial it back because he knows he's a psycho, an absolute crazy person that has lost it. And now he also needs to, you know, try to adjust before he ends up in prison.
So I don't know what that guy's name is.
Me either, but I love him.
But I'll tell you what, going forward, I'm going to call him Sosie. Because something tells me that if Sosie ever completely loses his mind, it's going to sound a little like that. So, see, a little tightly wound, surprisingly so.
Well, we got that one call that time was it the AFC Championship game?
Brandon Cooks.
Yeah.
Brandon. Hit him in the hands.
Yeah, hit him in the hands.
He did. He was going to lose his mind that day. So that was Sosie at FAU. That was pre-Patriots. And this is a local call. Abington Rockland. And now I'm going to get the names wrong, Murray. Sean Riley and Kevin Whalen, I believe
yes.
it is.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
We actually had these guys on the program. This is, I think, probably the best local call we have and certainly the most popular. But Abington, Rockland, high school football on Thanksgiving.
Second and 10, eye formation. Looks like Driscoll, the deep man in the eye. Austin throws it out. Oh, it's a backwards pass. That's a live ball. It's a live ball. Wait a minute, he's saying it's an incomplete pass. There's no way that's incomplete.
Absolutely not.
That's a
a backwards pass by 5 yards.
Absolutely not.
There's no way that's an incomplete pass. That's a backwards pass. It's a live ball. That's a touchdown taken off the board against the Green Wave. And that man does not have that call or the view.
Lions football! Horrible!
Boo! 5 yard backwards pass, live ball, touchdown off the board for the Green Wave. Nuts and bolts, we got screwed. Third down. 3:46 on the clock.
Yeah, once again, you know, you got to know what down it is and how much time is left in the game. It's one of the primary responsibilities of a play-by-play guy. You did also hear Kevin Whalen throw his headset there.
Lions football! Horrible!
I use that term so much now in my life, ever since I started working on the show or heard it when Beatle was, you know, brought this all to the table. Nuts and bolts, we got screwed.
Oh, yeah. Nuts and bolts, we got screwed!
It's just part of my vernacular now.
Oh, yeah. No, no, no. It's become like a...
Boo! Third down!
Total standby. In any case, we've gone over.
Boo!
But we just wanted to play those for you again as we do, as we have, rather, every Thanksgiving. And I think it was Beatle who originated it.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.